On this second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Peace, we always welcome John the Baptist. And I will confess to you that John the Baptist is probably one of my top three most favorite biblical figures. Hear now from the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I am is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." He's not a comforting one, John the Baptist, but he reminds us of the hard work of the peaceable kingdom and of the hard work of peace in our day. Amen. This morning, our unison prayer was from Edwina Gately, who is a wonderful poet and liturgist and woman of mission. For many years, she worked with women on the streets in Chicago. I bought a book of her work back in the mid-90s, and it's simply called "There Was No Path, So I Trod One." Now, as we hear the vision of the prophet Isaiah, we may say, "Lovely picture, nice metaphor, great expression, get real, live here, live now. My goodness, we have trouble even allowing the monarchs to migrate safely." But Isaiah's vision, that broad bringing together of species who weren't supposed to be together, that sense of safety and protection and home and belonging, is a spacious image of the Holy One of Israel. And so as we hear that image, we might ask, how in heaven's name could we ever get there? What could it possibly mean to be a people of peace, being badgered by John the Baptist over and over and over again with the call to repentance? And I think if we're going to allow John the Baptist to open up the how of the vision of Isaiah, we need to understand what that repentance is about. Repentance in the ancient languages is a word with a great picture. And it's not just a matter of rules and regulations that we meet well. As John the Baptist speaks of repentance, He is speaking of emotion that involves first turning around, standing up. We are to turn around and stand up so that we can see more fully, so that we can see further, so that after we have shooed the crow away for the 100th time, we might begin to realize that the call of God is here and that there is a new possibility. Repentance is about turning around and standing up as straight as we are able on that vertical access of the holy. To listen inside to the deepest place where you can, to a motion of turning around, turning away from the manner in which you have seen before, turning away from a behavior that you know well, turning away from an attitude, from something that limits who you might be. And as you turn, imagine standing up in a new fullness. Imagine standing up so that you can see and perceive further and with more subtlety and with greater compassion and love. On this day of memorial in South Africa, we remember one Nelson Mandela who knew what it meant to turn and stand up in a new way. Goodness, he had 27 years to practice on Robben Island. 27 years to get deeply convicted with an image of South Africa that was as outrageous as a lion and lamb lying down together, or a crow becoming the protector of the robins. He saw the future not for the captives, but he saw the future for the captives and the captors together. We're going to see a film after church today that is about a new image of community, a new sense of shared well-being, another particularity of turning around and standing up to see what we haven't seen before, to love in a way by which we have not loved before, to be stretched out into new territory and into new relationship. The peace of this second Sunday in Advent is not easy. Whenever John the Baptist is in the room, it is not easy. It's about a fundamental reorientation of who and how we are. And it doesn't matter that we failed last year or we didn't get quite as far as we were hoping, because we cycle back around to the beginning of Advent, and every year on the second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist has the same old message. Repent. Turn around. Stand up. Receive the fullness of God, even with unlikely ones, even with people or a group whom you don't like, even with the last one who would be chosen for the team. Turn around. Stand up in fullness and take on the eyes and the heart and the expression of God. That's the first part of our reflection this morning, and the second part will be on the video screen. for me, I've never really thought about Miracle of Meraux in relationship to John the Baptist. Must be I've never used it on the second Sunday. But it is a great example of children and adults and an enemy or two figuring out how to make that turn and to ensure and to protect life. To be continued.